You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Finally, a big win for the D-backs. Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Farron. Last night, the D-backs were down 4-0 and 5-1 in a game started by Jacob deGrom for the New York Mets, the reigning Cy Young Award winner. And that, after Zach Greinke, the D-backs ace, left after 4 innings and 80 pitches, trailing in the game. And somehow, the D-backs managed to find a way. Adam Jones got things even against the New York bullpen in the 8th.
There's a drive. Hit into deep center field. Going back is Lagares at the wall. It's gone. It's a home run for Adam Jones to tie the ball game at 5. And that's a happy Diamondback third base dugout.
Then in the 11th, Phoenix native Kevin Crone, in his first plate appearance as a big leaguer at Chase Field, doubled, went to third on Nick Ahmed bunt, and with runners at second and third and one out in the 11th, Tim LeCastro knocked him home.
And it's 2-2 pitch and a fly ball. That's going to do it. Back on it goes Gomez, still going back. That's a winner. It'll be a single for LeCastro. Crone scores a game-winning run, and the Diamondbacks come back from a 5-1 deficit here tonight, and they beat the Mets on a walk-off hit by Tim LeCastro, 6-5, and that's a happy group. They have snapped a 5-game losing streak.
After the game, we had a chance to catch up with a very excited Kevin Crone.
Your first at-bat in a major league game at Chase Field, you end up scoring the winning run after. What was that whole experience like tonight?
That's a surreal experience. Sitting on the bench all night, just trying to come in and get a good pitch to hit. And luckily I got a good one to get things going, and big hit by Timmy right there to get us going.
How long have you dreamed of this moment to do it at home, literally at home?
Ooh, I've been to a number of games here in my life, and this is my favorite one by far.
I can only imagine. Hey, listen, a tough situation with having to go down to Reno basically for a day. What were the last 24 hours like for you?
They were quick. Quick turnaround, but at all costs, just got to let it happen sometimes.
Tim LeCastro has had a great year in Reno as well. I know he's a popular guy. What did it mean to see him get the walk-off tonight, too?
Timmy's ultimate gamer. He came in, got hit by a pitch, drew a walk, stole a base, and then came up with a walk-off hit all off the bench. That's incredible to do, and Timmy's a gamer, man.
What a night for you, Kevin. Congratulations on the win tonight.
I loved what he said about this. This was his favorite game that he'd ever been to at Chase Field. D-backs with an improbable 6-5 extra inning. Comeback win. We'll talk to Torey Lovello about that in just a little bit. But first, to take a look back at what was a trying week overall for the D-backs. It's time for another look back at the past week in D-backs Week in Review. The week started promisingly enough with some more offense from the D-backs as they were en route to a 34-run three-game series against San Francisco, tying the franchise record for the most runs in three games. Ketel Marte helped spark the offense.
One out, nobody on bases. We're just underway on a Sunday afternoon. There's a high fly ball hit into deep right center field. Pilar goes back, looks up, and it is gone. Another home run for Marte, his 12th of the season. He continues to just rake in this ballpark, and he's given the Diamondbacks a 1-0 lead.
The good feelings, though, were short-lived as Luke Weaver was forced to leave in the 6th.
And now something wrong with Weaver. The second base umpire came in. James Hoy, evidently he noticed something, or Weaver sent something to him. The trainer is out. And they're going to take him out right here as a precaution.
Weaver suffered a strained right UCL ligament and a strained right pronator flexor tendon. He will not need surgery after 4 doctors converged to determine rest and rehab were the best option for the young right-hander. For Weaver's part, he's planning to turn his rehab over to the medical professionals.
I think we've all been to WebMD and all that, Wikipedia, and nobody ever gets no one ever gets the information they want out of it. Unfortunately, I think a lot of symptoms result to cancer, no matter what you have. And that seems to be consensus on WebMD or Wikipedia. So these guys know what they're doing. They've done it for a long time. So if I ever had questions, I'd ask them before I'd ask the internet.
The D-backs went into Colorado the next day and had a lead late thanks to the red-hot Nick Ahmed.
And Nick swings, hits it into right center field. Going back on it, and this ball is gone. over the wall out there and over that plexiglass extension into the Rockies' bullpen. A home run by Ahmed on a 3-2 pitch, and the Diamondbacks now lead 3-1.
Colorado rallied to tie the game, and Raimel Tapia's base hit in the 10th inning gave Colorado a 4-3 victory over the D-backs. On Tuesday, Merrill Kelly was pitching extremely well. Two runs allowed through 6 2/3 innings. And he gave up a single to Ian Desmond and then was burned by a former D-back.
Now the 1-1 to Iannetta from Kelly. High fly ball deep left field. Back on it goes LoCastro, and it is gone. Iannetta's circuit bat at bat of the night against Kelly. This one leaves the yard, and it puts the Rockies on top 4-2. That's his fourth of the year.
The D-backs dropped game two of the series 6-2 to Colorado. The next day, another tight game as the D-backs were down early trying to mount a comeback behind Carson Kelly.
3-1 pitch from O is hit deep to left. Back of the warning track and back at the wall and touch them all. Carson Kelly is fifth of the season. It's 5-4 now. The Diamondbacks get the lead to 1.
But the D-backs didn't score again, and they lost another one-run game, 5-4. Thursday afternoon was a seesaw Coors Field affair. The D-backs putting together a 5-run rally capped by Kelly again.
Kelly and a ground ball up the middle, center field base hit. Here comes Ahmed. He will score without a throw. RBI single for Kelly on his third hit of the ballgame. It's a 5-run eighth inning. And now a 10-8 Diamondback lead.
Rare rough outing saw Colorado tie the game off Yoan Lopez at 10. And then in extra innings, again, the D-backs fell by a single run.
On the way. Line drive, base hit left field. The game is over. Rockies win it. As Murphy walks them off, StoryCorps scores from third. And the Rockies get a four-game sweep here, beating the Diamondbacks this afternoon by a final count of 11-10.
It capped a 3-7 road trip for the D-backs that saw them swept by both San Diego and Colorado and left Torrey Lovello and company frustrated.
You can pinpoint about 20 things today that didn't go right. So, yeah, I can focus on the eighth inning. That's probably where we had different expectations. We just taken the lead. You want to just put your two guys out there and close out the game and come on home. But didn't work out that way. It's a good team. You know, this is a good Rocky team. They don't shut down, especially at home. It's a tough environment, but these are things we know. And I think we got to learn a lot from these four games. As painful as they are, we got to make sure we're better the next time we come in here.
The D-backs came home Friday to host the New York Mets, and in the middle innings got a lead again.
Swing and a drive to left. Way back and out of here into Friday's front row area. Two-run shot by Walker. I say he's back. And the Diamondbacks have got the lead now. They're on top of the Mets 4-3.
But an infield single off the glove of Matt Andrees in the eighth tied the game for New York, and a controversial call at third base on a ball that appeared to be foul off the bat of Carlos Gomez gave New York the winning run. On Saturday, the D-backs would come back. They were down 4-0 to reigning Cy Young Award winner Jacob deGrom when Adam Jones got him even.
There's a drive hit into deep center field. Going back is Lagares at the wall. It's gone! It's a home run for Adam Jones to tie the ballgame at 5.
D-backs would win in 11. Kevin Krohn led off with a double and Tim LoCastro the hero.
And it's 2-2 pitch and a fly ball. That's going to do it. Back on it goes Gomez. Still going back. That's a winner. It'll be a single for LoCastro. Krohn scores the game-winning run, and the Diamondbacks come back from a 5-1 deficit here tonight, and they beat the Mets on a walk-off hit by Tim LoCastro.
An eventful week that saw the D-backs have a 5-game losing streak for them by one run, but finish with good feelings. That's a look at the week that was. Now let's visit with the skipper, Torrey Lovello. Torrey, that was unexpected for us. You're down 4-0 and 5-1 in a game that Jacob deGrom started. Your starter goes out after four innings.
Yeah.
What was the feeling like in the dugout as you guys mounted that comeback?
Not good prior to the comeback. And we got a little bit of a pulse when we scored a run. I think it was on the base hit by Vargas. And we knew that deGrom had really good stuff. We could tell there were 10 pitch innings. He was working effortlessly through any part of the lineup. we wanted to just weather the storm, which we did. And we talked about getting into their bullpen, which we did, and that the tide could possibly turn if that was the case. So we built innings. We got the right guys in the right spot, and they took advantage of it. It was a great win for this team.
That eighth inning, building it, it started with – Tim LeCastro was in the middle of just about everything mm-hmm. last night, but comes off the bench, hit by a pitch to get things started. As you watch that, then Dyson reaches on the infield hit. Watch it start to unfold. How did the mood change among the group?
Yeah, I think Tim getting on base gave us a little bit of a pick-me-up. But then it was the miscue base hit, first and third situation after the Dyson base hit where we started to feel like, you know what, we got a shot here. Let's make it 5-2, possibly 5-3. And we got the bonus plan there with Adam Jones's two-run home run that tied the score. But I felt like we did everything we were supposed to do. One guy handed off to the next. We linked things together, and we had the big power shot that tied the game, and that's really the name of the situation.
Obviously, the 11th inning, Kevin Crone, the double, LeCastro, the walk-off base hit. Let's touch on LeCastro a little bit. He has a lot of those elements of the fifth outfielder, that traditional mm-hmm. kind of fifth outfielder, but it seems like is there more there in the bat than traditionally that role has had?
Well, you know, if you try to pick something up with that fifth outfielder, whether it's speed or extra power or great defense, he's a good hitter. And, you know, we didn't know much about him from an offensive standpoint. We knew that he could run like the wind. We knew that he could play very, very good defense. And we feel like the bat has really come on. And that's just a really good situation that we've walked into. But he showed us that, and he's doing all the hard work. So between the two guys that started the year in AAA, this is really what we stand by. They helped us come up, or they came up and helped us win a game. Kevin Crone set it up by that big double that led off the inning. We played baseball the right way, got him to third base. And then once it got to LeCastro, it was all that training, hard work that prepared him to be able to execute with the right heartbeat and get the right pitch to make it a good outcome.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the pitching. Zach Greinke came out of the game after mm-hmm. four innings. He was dealing with a little bit of neck stiffness, and then he wasn't. And then there was a long, odd conversation on the mound. What exactly happened in the fourth inning yesterday?
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing for all of us. You know, Zach, we knew during the game, he was battling a little bit of a neck issue. There was just some tightness that was taking place, and it's common for athletes in any position to be walking through that type of stuff. So Zach signaled to pull everybody in out of the dugout. We thought it was the neck. And by the time we got out there, he had quickly responded to the medical team and said that the neck was fine and everything kind of dissipated over the 15 seconds it took us to get out there, which was a good sign. But at that point, he started to talk about some strategy and positioning, and I made up my mind at that point that I was going to address it and just make an official mound visit. So at that point, I wanted to just make sure everybody was in the right place mentally. Everybody that was a little bit upset by some positioning and miscues or situations that didn't go right, I wanted to make sure their mind was in the right spot and we can carry on, because I felt like if Zach did his job and got us off the field, we could win that game.
And you ended up coming back, and a big reason why was the performance of Zach Godley mm-hmm. yesterday. What was the biggest difference for you with him?
Yeah, it's the command of two, three pitches. You know, the breaking ball, the curveball is always a good pitch for him, but he threw a number of sinkers, a number of fastballs that were located. And you can tell by some of the takes that the team was not prepared to hit that pitch. So Zach's working extremely hard to get himself online, be able to execute a great game plan that showed up yesterday.
All right, today you face Steven Matson. I know the team has had a lot of success against lefties this year. What's the biggest key against him? Because when he's on, he can be very, very tough.
Yeah, you know, we knew we had our work cut out for us over the course of these past couple days with the arms they were running at us. And that's why they're a good baseball team. They got very, very good starting pitching. So he fits right in the mold of the last two guys. It's the fastball that he presses. It's the changeup that he changed speeds with. And then it's the elevation of the fastball. He tries to climb at the top of the zone. And that's the new theme in baseball. It's a spin rate fastball that you just got to lay off of. So if we get him down in the zone, we get him out over into the plate, into the area of the plate that we're looking to hit baseballs with authority, I think we can slug and score a lot of runs.
Now, Merrill Kelly goes today. Had very good command in that outing against Colorado after probably two or three starts where he just didn't seem to be able to put the ball where he wanted to. What flipped for Merrill in that last start?
Fastball attack, fastball command, and establishing that he was in control of the at-bat. And I could feel that over the course of the first couple of batters in Colorado. He was pressing his fastball in the zone, and a hitter feels that presence. When a ball goes by them, they know that this pitcher is spot on with their stuff, with the aggressiveness and the mindset that he's on the attack, and that was a big difference for me.
All right, Skip, you're going today.
Thanks so much.
It's D-back skipper Torrey Lovello. Stay tuned to the podcast feed. Tomorrow we'll have more content ahead of the Major League Baseball first-year player draft. D-backs with 4 picks in the top 34 and 7 picks tomorrow in the first 75. Very important day for the franchise. Largest pool this year. Second largest pool in the hard slotting system. So really important for the D-backs and what they can do to try and add to the franchise. We'll have plenty of coverage of that tomorrow on the BP show. And as I mentioned here, in the dbacks.com podcast feed as well. All right, first pitch is at 1:10 today. Merrill Kelly starts with the D-backs against Steven Matz, the rubber match of the 3-game set with the New York Mets. Greg Schulte, Tom Candiotti on the call at 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station and on the D-backs Network. And we thank you for joining us for early BP.